Hello, everyone, and welcome to our office hours call for the month of April 2019. I keep getting confused about the dates and the times. It's crazy. It's just going by so fast. So we're here for our office hours. These are our open hours. This is where people from a variety of programs get to come together and ask questions about whatever's going on. Now, I see a few of you who are new with Sweet Spot. I know officially the Sweet Spot ones start next month, but some people got in early and got into this call, which is awesome. You may not even have a chance to dig in too far, but I'm glad you're here. I see some people from Body Balance. I see some people from ERC. So those are the three programs mainly that we have going on right now. So welcome. For those of you who are new to the call, the way it works is there's a couple of opportunities to be able to ask questions. One is if you can't make it to the call, you can type it into the Q&A box and I will address those at the beginning. Usually I do that at the beginning of the call. And then secondly, you can raise your hand. That's my favorite way because I love to talk to people. And it's *2 on your telephone keypad, and that will raise your hand. If you're on the web call, I'm not exactly sure how that one works, but I think there's a little box that says raise hand. And then the third way is on the chat. And the chat is a great way to converse with each other because you can see each other's comments. And I don't always get to see everything on the chat because it flies by really, really fast. I want to see some NEPT folks too. So if you're in one of our practitioner trainings, I'm going to ask you to kindly refrain from asking questions about your clients on this call because this is a client call. So if you have questions about your own health, please do ask, but your client questions will get answered on the client call. So thank you very much for that. So wow, we got a lot of people starting to fly in at this point. And I see Vanessa, I see your hand up. And what I want to do is just see if anybody put in stuff on the chat before the call started, and answer those first so that the people that didn't make it can just listen to the beginning and have their questions answered and they go on. So I see one, two, I see a few before the call, and actually one of them is from you, Vanessa. So what I'm going to do is just go through these quickly. There's only a few, and then I'll go to you online unless you have, I'm just going to get over here and see, unless you have a time restriction and need to get off quickly. Vanessa, you good for me to answer the other questions first, and then we'll get to you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. All right, that's what we're going to do then. Super. So I like to get those taken care of. So we have Sherry from Pagoda Springs who said, I've slept well. My stress level in life is low. I've been eating, as your Sweet Spot suggests, for many years, paying attention to blood glucose for 2 years. My morning fasting glucose is anywhere from 79 to 85. That's very good. I eat a smoothie filled with greens and no fruit and hemp powder as the protein, which I do not like no matter the brand. Oh, and my 30-minute glucose is 134. How much of a role are my genes? And what do I do? Okay, cool. So I would love to say that sounds interesting that there's no fruit. And what I would do is experiment with the hemp powder and see if there's nothing else in there. See if there's a level of carbohydrate because that seems very unusual for just a smoothie. Now, it could be that because the greens are blended up, that is causing a rapid rise in your sugar. So the things that I would suggest is experiment with the amount. Experiment with how much you're actually putting in there. And I'm going to ask if you're putting things like carrots or red bell pepper. It doesn't seem to be there. I'm just looking for some sort of sources of something that would raise it up. Because 79 to 85 to go up that high after just a green smoothie. So I would look into the hemp powder as a possibility. You might try just leaving the hemp powder out, starting with a small amount, see what it does, and just play with it. Increase the amount of hemp protein, increase the amount of greens. It says no matter what the brand, you don't like it. Well, there are other sources, too, of protein. You could try Sacha Inchi. You probably don't want to try rice since you're that sensitive. And, yes, your genes play a huge role in this. The other thing I would ask you is are you also doing some of the other Sweet Spot things like the burst exercises. I would look at your sleep. I would look, you said low stress. I think you said low stress, paying attention to blood glucose. Stress in life is low and sleep well. So the thing I would look at is timing. Are you eating too frequently? And genes can play a huge role. And that's what makes some people more sensitive than others. So I'd love to hop on a call with you and just kind of go through and ask you some questions and see what we can figure out here. But I would experiment with quantity and the amount of the protein powder, but also what other greens might be in there. That, because it sounds a little bit unusual. I haven't seen that before. Sharon, I signed up for the insulin resistance deep dive, how to find your sweet spot workshop on Saturday. And when I received the confirmation with the times, I realized I'll be able to attend the whole thing. Will it be recorded and available? Yes, it will definitely be recorded because, you know, it's a short notice, and I realize that a lot of people won't be able to make the whole time, but do make as much as you can live. And we will be offering some, you know, kind of bonuses, and we're going to be offering some prizes and contests and stuff like that. But we will be recording it, and we'll make it available. It may take a while to get a recording ready for that because it's an all-day type of a thing, but we definitely plan on recording it. Yep, absolutely. Hannah, is there a best time of day to do 30 to 60 minutes of exercise for regulating blood sugar? Great question, Hannah. So I would say intermixed with the 30 minutes of, and 30 to 60 minutes, some of the 30 second bursts of exercise that we talk about. Best time of day, I think, is going to vary based on you. Lots of studies have gone on in this area. Like, what is the best time of day to exercise? And it really comes out differently, just depending on the type of exercise and the environment, the background, et cetera. So I would say find your groove. Like, when do you feel best? I know I like to exercise first thing in the morning, and I will do it if I'm on vacation and it's a beach type of thing. But when I'm at home, there's always some reason, and I really love going out and exercising in the late afternoon, except in the summer when it's 100 degrees, and so then I do earlier. So it's just really finding for you, when do you feel most energetic? When do you feel the best? In terms of the regulating blood sugar, I would think that first thing in the morning is going to be good because you wake up and you've got that surge of cortisol that comes up, and that's going to give you the most energy. But it's going to vary from person to person. But that's a really great question. Okay. Silva says it's too late. She's in Lausanne. I wonder where that is. I burp a lot after eating. It doesn't smell nor taste anything, and it's not burning. Does it have to do with lack of acidity in the stomach? Does it fit anywhere in your module? Thank you. Yeah, and I'm going to remind everybody when you come on and ask me a question is to tell me which program you're in so I know which access to which materials you have. The burping could be that you're eating too fast, that you're swallowing air when you go, that you're chewing with your mouth open, some things that cause the air to go down, air bubbles to be there, and you're releasing air. The fact that it doesn't smell or taste says it's not really like a regurgitation of stomach contents, because you would taste that and it would burn if that had to do with it. It's just a burp, and it's a lot of times it has to do with air. It could be that you have some issues with the diaphragm, like tightness in the diaphragm, and that your stomach is moving up a little bit in there. And do the modules, depending on which program you're in, we don't discuss burping per se, but we talk about stomach acid, and all the stuff in Sweet Spot will help you with getting your digestion in order. And then in our digestion if you're in Body Balance, I don't remember which program you're in, but if you're in Body Balance, you have access to the digestion, and we'll talk about that in there. Go. Okay. Ooh, let's see. Yvonne says she's from Loma Linda. I realize that interacting with others can be useful, but it doesn't have to be with Facebook to participate in this coursework. No, you don't have to do Facebook. That's just one extra way that we let you communicate. So you have these calls, and you have, what is that? I don't know what this means on the live chat site instead. I don't know what the live chat site is. But you actually can communicate with, if you're in Sweet Spot, you can communicate with the coach via the journals that you fill in. And on these calls, you get to communicate with other people in the course, and it's not dependent. A lot of people don't use Facebook, and a lot of people do. So it's up to you, totally up to you. Yvonne, another question. What does it mean to connect via phone or broadcast? Okay, so on these calls, this is a platform called Instant Teleseminar. And they have three ways that you can access. You can pick up your phone and you can dial in. In that case, if there's any slide presentation or, you know, chat activity, then you can't really participate in that. And maybe what you mean is the live chat on these calls. And yes, that's a great way to communicate with people. And then the broadcast is you just get to listen. You can see the chat. You can communicate via chat. You can use, you can see the slides, but what you can't do is, let's see, you can't talk to me. I can only talk to you. So it's a one way. And then if you do web call or phone, then you can talk to me. Yeah, good question. Silvana in Luzon, okay. Since menopause, I have stiff hands in the morning and aching when I fold them. Not hot, just slightly swollen. Would collagen help? You know, with just that little bit of information, it's hard for me to say because it sounds like there may be some inflammation going on, in which case, you know, collagen may or may not be helpful. If you've got some weakness in the tissue and some degenerative type arthritis in your hands, certainly collagen support could be very helpful. And Vanessa, two issues really big. Okay, so I'm going to get you on the phone. I'm going to read this first. And the digestion affecting sleep. Okay. Okay, cool. I'm going to get in with you and I'm going to get you on the phone. And then I have Karmjeet and Angelica. So hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So I had bad digestive issues in the past, which elimination diet basically cleared it up, but it seems like has started all over again. And I don't know if it's because I'm still doing a little bit of like MCT oil and stuff like that, but even eliminating them, it seems like almost everything is triggering my stomach for back to like IBS symptoms that I used to have in the past. So, and ever since I started keto in the fall, I've had issues with my sleep, and I know it's at the core of my other health issues is basically compare these two things. So,
right. So I'm going to ask you some questions before this is why I love talking, because when I just get it typed in, I can't ask you the questions as easily. So I want to find out, you said you've had IBS type symptoms in the past. How long ago and how long were they feeling better for?
So right before my adrenal crash, I had IBS symptoms for years. Right after I had the crash, I eliminated gluten, dairy, sugar, coffee, you know, alcohol, all of the main instigators. And I did that for about 4 months. And then after that, I could like introduce some of them back and I was fine. And I've been fine until really like the last month. And it's like gone back as bad as it used to be.
Okay, so when you say introducing some of those foods, which ones of those foods did you introduce and in what kind of frequency?
Well, I introduced them back, and, you know, ever since like October, that was 2 years ago. And then back in October when I started keto, I've gotten more clean again. So I've, at least since the beginning of this year, have eliminated all of those things, except maybe it's like the coffee that I started doing again in the last month. Maybe there's a correlation with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, coffee is a digestive irritant.
Okay.
And coffee will affect you in terms of keeping you awake at night. Even if you're only drinking it in the morning, it can still have that effect. How often, mm-hmm. how much coffee have you been doing?
I've been doing about a cup, maybe 2 cups decaf.
So decaf, not caffeinated. Okay. They have still have tannins in it that affects the gut. It generally wouldn't affect your sleep if it's just that. And so when did the digestive issues start back again?
I've noticed them about the last month and a half.
Okay. Okay. And so what I'm going to ask you then is that, so the coffee you came put back in about a month ago. So that's one change. What any other changes in your diet or stress level or exposures in that last month and a half since these things started coming back?
I don't know if it's like when I used to have IBS in the past, like I would, if I stayed on a very, you know, the same diet and very minimalistic than it, if I varied and introduced a new food, then it would be an irritant. And so the only other difference is basically since doing this program is I've done a lot more smoothies. And so I noticed like if I introduce other foods, they can be instigators. Like I noticed I'm not tolerating meat as well anymore. Red meat in particular, even though it's grass-fed organic. So I don't know if that's it. Like it's, you know, because I've gotten, I've gotten more clean. So I'm surprised it's irritated so much.
Okay. So this is a good question. What are the symptoms when you say irritable bowel? You mean like running to the bathroom, diarrhea, constipation, bloating, gas, all
diarrhea,
of those?
And my stomach, just like this constant, especially like right after I eat, like it's just this rumbling, like literally I've been on the phone and my dad's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's my like, it's like talking to me, like it's upset and I have diarrhea. It initiates diarrhea like all throughout the day.
Throughout the day. So watery stools and they're frequent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that what it was like before? Is it different than it was before? Is that
Yeah, those were pretty much my symptoms before.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's what happened. So you're saying that you eliminated gluten and sugar and dairy and alcohol. You eliminated all those and you've played around with introducing them back, but pretty much since the beginning of the year, since October, you haven't been doing any of those except coffee, or do you do them occasionally, or tell me more about that.
No, so I started keto in October when you did the healthy keto challenge, I took out dairy.
Okay. So you've been doing dairy from October till what, end of February?
Right. It wasn't causing any issues. So I've cut out dairy, since then, and I had cut out coffee I cut out coffee at the beginning of working with you, and then I've just only recently introduced it back in, which is a bad habit because if I wake up tired, it's just like my go-to.
Oh,
I'm not sleeping at night. I'll wake up at 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 and I'm just like, okay, and my stomach is going and I can't get back to sleep. I'm lucky if I get back another hour or two after that.
Are you still doing intermittent fasting?
No, I've not been doing that since I've added back in the coffee.
All right. So here's what I would recommend. You know, whenever something shifts, I always like to go back to a baseline of what it was like before it shifted. So you were going like 16 hours between meals and that really helps, especially if you have a tendency to IBS. And, you know, there may still be some issues going on down there. There may still be some gut, some microbiome imbalances. So there's a lot more I could ask you, but that for now, what I want to see you do is go back to like a baseline of the 16 hours between meals. You know,
mm-hmm.
really allow that gut to heal and get the coffee out. Okay. In terms of the sleep, have you looked at the sleep module yet that's in the blood sugar balancing in the sweet spot?
Honestly, I consume so much, I don't recall specifically each piece.
Yeah, you would remember it because there's a lot there. So what I want you to do is just go through and watch the video in there and look at the resources in there and just really make an honest list of what the things you have tried that are in there, right, and what the results were. Because some of the things that happen is that for sleep issues, we've got to figure out why. So that's a good thing to do because – with lack of sleep, there's a number of things, right? It could be hormonal imbalance that's keeping you awake. It could be gut stuff that's keeping you awake. Parasites like to lay their eggs in the middle of the night. I know that's a gross thought, but that's what happens. And when you have parasites, then you do tend to have more of a waking up. Is the problem with sleep, problem with falling asleep or staying asleep?
No, I typically don't have a problem falling asleep, but I definitely will wake up in the middle of the night and I'm taking the Dutch test as soon as it's the right day in my cycle, which should be like next week or so. So I don't know if it's like cortisol, but definitely like in this recent month, my stomach's going and I'm just like, oh, what did I eat? It's tumultuous. It's tumultuous. And, I know things aren't happy down there. And it's like, I'm ready to go. I'm like, should I clean the house? I have so much energy. Like, I'm not even tired.
Yeah, it sounds like the cortisol. Here's one way to know before you even get the Dutch test. Not to know, but to guess. Check your blood sugar when you wake up.
Okay.
Like, immediately. Don't get up and go to the bathroom first, unless you have to, obviously, if it's an emergency. But I would say just check your blood sugar and see. Because if your blood sugar, and check it before you go to bed. So check your blood sugar before you go to bed, and then check it right then when you wake up. And see if it's shifted. If it's gone up, then that could be what woke you up. And we have to figure out why is that happening.
Okay.
But look at the sleep module and look at some of the sleep hygiene. There are some herbs that you can do. If it is a cortisol thing, phosphatidylserine and magnolia are really good. And if your blood sugar is going up, it's probably related to a cortisol rise because you're not eating right before bed, right? You're still sticking with that.
Yeah, I'm sick. I'll start a bedtime ritual around 8:30 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. What time do you actually get into bed?
Well, I forget the doctor's name. It's that sleep tea, which has got like magnesium and a bunch. It's like a cocktail that I'll drink at about 8:30. I'll probably fall asleep like by 10.
Okay. And what time in the middle of the night do you wake up?
Anywhere from between 1:30 to 4:30.
Okay. So it varies. It's not like one. Because I was going to look at the Chinese medicine. They have a specific organs that are active during a specific time. Large intestine is a little bit later than that. But, okay, that's what I would start with. And you want to – anytime the gut flares up, you always have to calm it down before trying to figure out what's going on with it. So if the calming it down is longer periods of time, I mean, if you're up to fasting for a day or two, that can be helpful, or just liquids only for a day or two, just to keep it light. And I would say get the coffee out, keep all the rest of the stuff out, and make sure you're doing the eating ritual before you eat, like eating under, you know, real calm situation. And then we can look to see if it's a microbiome thing.
And okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Hang in there. You're on the right track.
You.
Sometimes we go backwards before we go forwards.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Sure. Right. My next is Karmjeet. I think I said it right.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, you said it perfectly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. And so I'm in the Body Balance.
Yep.
And I've been following the protocol that we discussed, which is the Metaclear, and I'm using you actually had recommended that I get off the powders for the bone broth and stuff like that. It actually really helped. It made a big difference. So now I've just been doing the Metaclear with I'm doing aloe vera with it and adding avocado and some fiber from thorn. So anyway, so I've been doing all of that, and I do feel better. So there's a few related questions that I want to ask you. I was taking the capric acid with it, right? But I've been constipated, so I go like, you know, once every 3 days. So I stopped taking that because I didn't want to be recirculating
the
you have a comment on that before I ask the other questions?
Yeah, so another form of caprylic acid, which would actually have the other, I don't know that caprylic acid wouldn't cause it, but you can actually get some MCT oil, and especially the one from Bulletproof. There may be others like it, which is high in the 8-chain carbon fats, which is what the caprylic is, and that actually will help you your bowels move better.
Oh, okay. So I have the one from, you know, that one for life. So I have another one. So I already have that. So I'll try that. I didn't, Garden for Life. So I didn't realize that MCT oil would actually help my bowels.
Oh, yeah, we tell people if you have loose bowels, you have to be careful, and just to go slowly with it, because some people really, it causes things to move much more quickly.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then I could go back to taking the capric acid, you know, to kill the bugs, right?
Well, you wouldn't necessarily need to, because the MCT, the caprylic acid is actually in, if you get the right kind of caprylic, I mean, the MCT. So some of them have a multiples of different lengths of the particular fat. And I know the Bulletproof one does, but you can research that and see if there's others and see if the one you already have has that, because it's mostly caprylic acid. It's almost exclusively caprylic acid.
Yeah.
And then in a liquid form and in the MCT in the oil form rather than in a capsule.
Okay, got it.
It has a similar effect. Yeah, and the other thing is to other ways. So try that for moving your bowels. Try increasing your magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
That can be helpful. And vitamin C, you can get to a bowel tolerance dose, and that can be helpful as well. Yeah.
Okay. That would be very helpful. So I'll try that. Some of the symptoms that I'm having because of this, so I'm on day 16 now, which is awesome. I'm having still the leg cramps. It mainly is happening, you know, maybe like an hour before I'm ready to get up. And so they're in the lower part of the leg. I am taking the liquid vitamin, the Sun Warrior one.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else you think I could do that might be causing the leg cramps?
Magnesium or potassium. And
okay.
Given, you know, the bowel state, I would say start with the magnesium.
Okay, start with the magnesium. And you know like how they'll have so many different types. Are you talking about the magnesium citrate or
magnesium? Yes, citrate tends to have the most impact on the bowels.
Okay, so I'll do that. Okay, and then the other related question was, then I don't need to ask you about the coffee enema because I'll try this thing first.
Mm-hmm. And the coffee enema is completely different. I mean, the coffee enema will help clean you out. It'll also help stimulate the liver to move things. So it's not a bad idea to do a coffee enema. It also stimulates the vagus nerve, which helps with motility of the digestive tract, which could help as well.
Okay, that might help. I just remember like 2 years ago when I was doing it with the Gerson diet, after like a month, I was unable to hold the liquid in. And I don't know if that's a common thing that happens for people, even though the coffee enemas were good for me until I just couldn't hold them in.
And like anything else, it's not like this should be your normal everyday thing, right? Mm-hmm. During a cleanse, during a period when you're trying to do it, and then maybe a couple of times a week you do it, not every day.
Okay, I was doing it every day for like a month. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, I think the body gets irritated after a while of having the fluid going the wrong way through it.
Okay, got it. So then related to this also is I am having white thick coat on my tongue. So even though I'm just consuming what I shared with you, is this a normal thing?
Well, if you're on a cleanse and you're trying to get rid of stuff, I mean, that coating can be related to a detox kind of a reaction. Have you always had that, or is it just now since you started the MediClear?
It's happening now, meaning where it's harder to get off, you know?
You have a tongue scraper?
Yeah, I have a scraper, so like ultimately most of it comes off, but it's weird, but some of it still wants to stay sticky.
Yeah, I think it's a cleansing response.
Okay.
Yeah, keep cleaning it off and keep, you know, healing. And what kind of probiotics or probiotic kind of foods are you taking?
Well, just the aloe vera.
Okay. You don't take any kefir or yogurt or...
No, because like that, actually, I couldn't, you know, because I'm trying to heal the gut. So I was trying to, you know, just...
No, the only contraindications to those is if you have SIBO. And if you have SIBO...
I do.
So you want to get a couple of different possibilities for probiotic. I would get something called Bifidobacter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a company called Custom Probiotics that has a 4-strain Bifido that works well. And then there's another one that they also have called a D-lactate-free probiotic. And those will just, they won't stop in your small intestine. So if you are trying to heal from a small intestinal overgrowth, you can handle them. And start with small doses.
Okay, so I'd get both of them, right?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
And just
okay.
Try one. Just start with the Bifido and see how it works and just gradually build it up, and then you can start with the other. And just find, you're at the point where there's a lot of sensitivity there, so you want to find what's actually working well for you.
Okay, got it. And so last two quick one is you said the AM gut rejuvenator. I wanted to ask you, with the lemon, how does that impact if I'm taking thyroid stuff in the morning? So
it
is there an impact?
Not that I know of. No,
okay.
It shouldn't. I've had lots of docs tell people, no, it's no problem. Take it. You can take it.
So I could take
on thyroid. Is it Synthroid or is it a Armor or Nature Throid? Or?
So it was Nature Throid, but about a year ago, I just got off the medicine and I, by myself, okay. But so now I take the Gaia liquid pills and the iThroid, that one.
Oh, so you can take a supplemental, not prescription thyroid.
I stopped, yeah.
Okay, so then they don't have to worry about it at all.
Okay, so I could take my supplements with the AM gut rejuvenator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, awesome. My last question is back to the, detoxing, right? So given the lymph nodes were removed, right, and some of the other pathways are not always so great, so that's why we're doing MetaClear. Okay, if I was to get in the infrared sauna like a few times a week, when would I take the activated charcoal or something else so to bind the stuff?
I would generally take activated charcoal close to bedtime and any kind of binders close to bedtime. So it's not really near food and it can just do its thing during the night when you're cleansing anyway.
And so that's enough. So during the day, so the toxins and stuff won't hurt me.
If you're moving your bowels, you should be fine. The other thing you could try is, you could try it in the middle of the day, but just do it in between meals. Don't do it close to your food.
Okay. Awesome. Well, all of this was so, so helpful. Thank you so much, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're so welcome, Kanjeet. Bye bye.
Bye.
All right, next we have, so it clears my screen every time. There we go, Angelica, let me make sure you're closed. Okay, we have Angelica, and then we have someone from Santa Fe, and then we have Susanna in Austin, and Wuka from New York. And they think that's, I know who that is. Okay, that's not Wuka. Okay, so Angelica, hi.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. So my question, I'm following the GRAND protocols, trying to heal my gut. And I've noticed that I'm just in, phase one, trying to introduce a lot of leafy greens, brassicas, broccoli, cauliflowers. But as much as I love them, the raw greens, and if I eat the cooked brassicas, it really just makes me so distended, and it just really seems to put me out, and it labors my digestion. I get tired after eating a meal high in these things, and I know they're gut healing.
Yeah, but so you're saying the cooked, I just want to make sure I'm clear. Cooked, they cause that, and raw, they're okay, or vice versa?
So the raw leafy greens, like salad greens, those definitely make me really distended, bloated, tired, very hard to digest. And same with raw kale and any raw green vegetable.
Okay.
But I mean, I ate a copious amount of roasted broccoli, cauliflower. So maybe it was just the amount. But yeah, I've noticed that. I really want, I love the salads, but it just, the fact of the matter is it's starting to make me tired and it's affecting me. So what I should, how I should
proceed.
Is this compromising my gut's healing abilities, for this
program?
Yeah,
it's a good question. It's a good question. So if you do have some inflammation, some people are sensitive enough that, I'm just still confused. You said the raw leafy greens do cause you to get distended, and then the cooked broccoli, and that does too.
It did just the other day, yeah.
Was it just a one-time thing, or was it a multiple?
I should probably test it again and see.
Yeah,
and also, I did both of them.
And one don't really give us much information because it could be anything, right? You could have been poor night's sleep the night before. You just or you ate too much, because we do tend to eat a lot more when it's cooked. So I would do another experiment with it for sure. But I'm guessing that you have some low stomach acid. Because when we don't handle the greens and the fibers real well, it's usually because the stomach acid is low and you're not handling the fibers and even the protein in there and the minerals.
Okay. Yeah, I, I do. I definitely scored in, like, the orange zone, so, like, moderately compromised low stomach acid on the digestive assessment. But that was my other question. I also scored, like, in the blues or, like, in, like, the little bit compromised range for the high stomach acid. And I was just wondering on the assessment, like, when you get kind of conflicting results like that, how do you know which one to favor?
Yeah. So here's the thing. That's a great question, and I hear this a lot, because the symptoms are somewhat similar. So burning after you eat certain things can be high or low. And so I really usually skew towards the side of which of the low when they both show up. Yeah, if the low is higher, if the high stomach acid is higher, then we really need to address that, mainly because it compromises the lining, the endothelial lining in the stomach. So, and you're young, so high stomach acid is not that uncommon or as uncommon in someone who's 30 versus someone who's 60. Very different. Like, stomach acid tends to wane with age. So, what I usually do when I see a conflicting result, like a blue in one and an orange in another, a blue in the high, is I'm going to address healing, like soothing kind of things. So things like slippery elm and marshmallow and DGL licorice to help soothe the lining of the gut. And then once we work on that, then I would look at bitters to help stimulate, and zinc. I would be looking at your zinc status, because the zinc can be compromised if you have low stomach acid, and zinc is required to make stomach acid. So we end up in this catch-22, and we need to address it from both ends. So I would look at demulcents. So if you're in Grand, look up the concept of demulcents. There's a whole section on that, and there's a page, and I think there's actually a handout that describes it. And those are healing, soothing. And then look at bitters. And there's a lot of options for bitters. You can buy a bitters formula. You can juice a little arugula. You can chew a little arugula before your meal, or other greens. So those are the things I would be looking at right now. And then cut back. If indeed you're eating big salads and you get a gut compromise versus if you eat a smaller salad and you don't, then you're going to have to ease into it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yeah, when raw things aggravate, it's usually because there's some sort of inflammation or irritation already in there. And think about broom, you know, the broom handle. That's kind of what the fiber does. And if you rub a broom over a cut on your arm, you know, that kind of thing would hurt. And that's kind of what we do in our guts when it's compromised.
Right, gotcha. Okay, one last question. I did the bowel transit test, but it was actually pretty hard for me. I've never, you know, taken charcoal, so I didn't know what to expect. But I barely saw any of the charcoal coming through in my elimination. So the earlier question was about when to take charcoal. So I took it, like, with my last meal of the day. It was, like, at 5. Is that the best way to do it, or is there a better way? And what should I also look for? Does it show obviously, or you have to really search for little bits of it?
No, okay, yeah, that's a good question. So Karmjeet was asking about was taking charcoal as a supplement to help specifically to bind and pull out toxins. What you're doing is looking at taking very large quantity of charcoal in terms of doing a test, a transit time test. Now, you can use anything you want for a transit time test. You can use beets. People get freaked out when they do it with beets because they think they're bleeding. You can do it with corn, right, because nobody eats all their corn, so you can watch for it. But different things affect the transit time. So the charcoal tends to be the most inert. It doesn't tend to increase or decrease the transit time. And what you're looking for is to take about 6 of those capsules, and then you're watching for when does your stool start to turn black or very dark. You're not actually looking for
it.
You didn't see that?
Yeah, okay. No, I didn't see it at all. It was weird. I took 4 capsules. Maybe it wasn't enough, or it just, I don't know. But
how many did you take?
4. I don't know the dose, but, you know, I just picked them up at Central Market here in Austin. So they're like, you know, just, you know, vegetarian capsules, like standard.
I would go for like 6 to 8.
Okay. Okay,
yeah, so
like
this is since you did it already and you didn't see it. And then really watch for the first time you see it. You're actually looking for the first time you see signs of charcoal, dark stool, and then the last. So make a note before you start it. Like, look, just take a look and make a note. What's your stool color look like, your typical stool color?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then do it and keep watching and you'll see, oh, is it dark? And even, I mean, it's gross, but take a picture. Have your little cell phone and just take a picture so you can compare
it.
You did.
But it certainly wasn't black, like you're saying. Okay, well, I will.
So take it before you start the challenge and then take it at intervals throughout so you kind of see.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye. Okay, who's in Santa Fe? Oops, Santa Fe. Hey, Santa Fe.
I don't know. I'm in Taos.
Oh, you're in Taos. Close enough. And I opened your line and you spoke and I hear you. So it must be you. Hi, who's this?
Phyllis Landis.
Oh, hi, Phyllis. Nice to meet you. So which program are you in?
So I don't know what I'm doing yet. My question was that I signed up and I'm going to Europe for a month to visit my granddaughter. And I'm leaving on the 25th, so I don't know that I'm going to be able to do this while I'm traveling. So I didn't know whether I should start it and just do what I can and then start it again when I come back. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so you'll be back at the end of May.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I would say do whatever you can. I mean, it's accessible wherever you are. You can even download things and have it on, a laptop or whatever if you're traveling and you want to watch videos or look at stuff. I would just take your steps through it. We are going to do the metabolic reset together starting at the beginning of, I think, June 1st. So we're going to give you a whole month of playing and the testing and get used to things, experiment, and then we're all going to together do this metabolic reset, boom, starting on June 1st. So you'll have plenty of time to do that. And then for some people like to start it earlier, they start it earlier. It's no big deal. But I think it'll work out perfectly for you. But just do your best, right? It's never a good idea to put off making good, healthy changes.
All right. So just read any of the models that open for me. Just read them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be able to get open. So you right now everybody has foundations and the metabolic reset. And as soon as you finish foundations, it'll open up module one. When you finish up module one, it'll open up module two, et cetera. So and when you finish, there's a checklist on the page. And all you do. Check, check, check. And as long as all the boxes have a check, a message should pop up and say, congratulations, Phyllis, you just completed. Now we're going to let you move on to module one.
Great. And the other thing, I'm 82, but I'm very vital.
Good.
And I'm very vital. One of the other things I'm dealing with is osteoporosis.
Okay.
And I've been following a 80% alkaline food and 20% acidic food. That's the program that I've been following because I don't want to do the drugs. So basically, will that just fit into the program I'm going to do?
Perfectly,
with
because
you?
This is what we want to do is we want to get you on a high alkaline and, get you balanced there. So that'll work. What I'm going to suggest, I don't know if you've looked at this at all, but there are a few herbs that you can add to your regime that can be super helpful. And I've had people reverse get improvements in their numbers within 6 months.
Right.
They do. Okay. And there are three different herbs. Actually, you just gave me a good idea for, I'm going to write that down. There's three different herbs. One is nettles. You've heard of stinging nettles. Okay.
Yes, I'm drinking nettle tea.
You're drinking nettle tea. So what I'll ask you to do it when you're making the tea, you're going to have the leaves, and usually we just toss them or put them in the compost, right? I want you to take the leaves once they're soggy, and you can put them in a smoothie or a soup or put them in something. They don't have any flavor really, and they give a lot of the calcium and the minerals are stuck and left in the leaves. So typically I'll have people either do that, make the tea and then use the leaves, or make the tea and dump the whole thing into a smoothie, or just use it uncooked,
Right. Okay.
All right. Another one is horsetail. Have you ever done horsetail?
A long time ago, I did a little horsetail in a liquid.
Yeah. So if you get like mountain rose herbs is a great source to get this stuff. So if you get some horsetail from there, and then you can grind it up if you have a food processor or a Vitamix or a blender or one of those little coffee grinders, you just grind it out from the big big old leaves that it comes into these small ones. And then you can make a tea out of that. You just add it with your nettles and make that, the two of them into a tea. Okay. Together. It's very high in silica and very high in nutrients. Together with the nettles, really good for bone repair.
Okay. And the third one?
The third one is actually alfalfa, assuming you don't have a ragweed allergy. But alfalfa works really well, too, and you can do the same thing. You just do it together, the three of them.
Right.
One of the things
would I do like a teaspoon of each?
A teaspoon of each.
Or more?
A teaspoon of each to start, yep.
Okay.
You can go up to two. It depends on how severe your osteoporosis is, but I'm always a fan of low and slow.
Severe.
Start low. It's real severe. Then start with the one and then build it up.
Okay.
All right. The other thing, you just gave me an idea, and I'm going to add as a bonus for Sweet Spot, I'm going to add a little module I have called Eating for Bone Health.
Great.
That would be awesome. That's a, it's a common problem, and it's actually me doing an hour and a half talk on it, and then me and a friend who's a chef doing an hour and a half presentation on foods, and then there's recipes in there.
Super.
Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. You take care.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Your travel.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And then we have Susanna in Austin. Hi, Susanna.
Hi there, Dr. Anna Marie.
You might be listening on the web call. I don't know how that's working. Are you on the phone and the web, or just the web?
I'm going to turn.
Whoops. Yeah, she disappeared. All right, I'm going to move on to, it's probably Lei Chow, right? I think that was who you were. Okay, hi, Lei Chow.
Hi, yes, thanks. I have a question about the blood glucose testing.
Yep.
I've been doing that, and then I realized that it's still very complicated for me to keep track of it throughout the day when I'm at work and when I'm at home with my kids. So I keep testing it every time, but I haven't really for about 3 weeks already. But I haven't really find that it's really helping me to understand like the peak and how what to watch for. So is there a simpler way to do the testing, like just one or twice after a meal?
Are you?
No, there isn't.
I thought you had it gotten a freestyle.
Freestyle. Yeah, I have that. But I keep testing. I keep testing. But I don't know what to look for.
The charts are in there.
So
I'm going to give you a. You can go to their site and you can hook up your thing. It has a USB thing. You can hook it up and you can get it into the computer and you can see your graph. But even on the device, I'm going to be doing for Sweet Spot. I'm going to be doing a
graphing.
I'm going to be doing a demo, and I'll show people how to look for that. But there is definitely a site where you can upload your numbers and you can see your chart.
Yeah, I was printing out the chart and try to keep track of writing of it.
No, you don't have to because it's in the meter itself. The meter is keeping track of all those numbers. There's a review mode. Let me tell you this much.
I saw the review mode, but I'm still confused.
Yeah, well, with the freestyle, you do not have to test more than every 6 hours. Mm-hmm. You don't have to hold it up more than every 6 hours, and then because you can go back and look at the numbers if you have to. I like to look.
I don't have to write it down. No, I think I test too much. I get kind of neurotic, and it's anxiety inducing for me.
Yeah.
I keep looking. But then, can I just test it two hours after I eat to make sure?
Well,
most of the time, sometimes it's an hour to 2 hours.
You want to see it? Look to see when your peaks are. But you're going to see a graph in there. Give me as little time. I'm going to show people how to do that. And I'm going to make a little video on that because I think it's important.
Yeah.
There's a lot that you can do with that. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to poke yourself constantly.
Yeah, and then I print out the schedule, the PDF file that you have, and I try to write it down, all the numbers, and then it got me even more confused because I don't test it exactly, you know, right after.
You don't have to test it
exactly on the hour.
Oh, no. You don't have to test exactly, but just write the time that you do. I just have it on there with every 15 to remind people that that's ideal. So, like, say you eat and you put your number in, and then it's like 37 minutes later, you test it again. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no 37 there. So you look to the one that's closest. So you look at the 30 on there and you put it under the 30. And then you put the time and the number, right? And then you maybe the next time you test it is at 62 minutes, right? There's no 62, but an hour is the closest. So that's how you
hour.
Okay?
Yeah. Sometimes I miss it and then I forget about
but
it.
But it's in the machine. It's actually in your machine. Yeah, it's in your meter.
In your machine, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a way.
But
I don't
now
have
what do I look for?
But if you go to the instructions that came with the machine, it tells you exactly how to look at that.
How to look at what?
How to look at your saved number.
No, I know how to look at I know how to look at my saved number, but I don't know what I'm looking for sometimes.
You're looking for where's the highest. So if you ate.
Where the highest.
Okay, so I'm going to just calm you down because you're getting a little nervous about this, and I want you to just relax about it, okay?
Yeah.
Deep breath. Okay. So the peak means what is the highest it goes after the meal. So if it starts out at, say, 85 before you eat, and then it goes up to 92, 97, 110, 130, and then it comes down and the next number is 120. The 130 was your peak.
Okay. Yeah, I know. But does it change with every meal?
Yeah.
I think I noticed that. It's not the same consistently.
Yeah.
So
it's not gonna be the
way we do that is to do the peak so that next time when it's over, we just test ourselves. Just by at the peak, like after every 2 hours or something, is it?
No, 2 hours is never the peak. 2 hours is usually back
down.
The
peak?
It's not. No, very rarely. Very rarely. Very rarely.
Oh.
Okay. So the idea is that we're testing, and then we're going to try to figure out how high it goes. And if you approximately 40 minutes, it's the highest typically, and you can tell that by charting. You go, wow, it's almost always at 40 minutes. But if it's all over the map, then you're going to have to do tests more frequently. But with this freestyle, you don't have to poke yourself. So you just have to look at the graph.
Right. Yeah. My number's all over the place. That's why it's confusing me.
Well, if the numbers are all over the place, you're going to have to look to see what are the foods that are you're eating before it goes up high and what are the foods that keep it nice and low. And then we're going to do 30-day reset of you eating just the foods that keep it in
just
the good
the
range.
The foods that keep in the good range.
Right.
Okay.
So right
I heard some people saying that it's what?
Right now, think of yourself, you're in the testing phase. You're in this phase to figure it out. You're going to see some stuff you don't like. But right now, we're just going to mark it. And then during the reset, we're going to eliminate the foods that raised it. And we're going to be really strict then. We're not going to add anything new during the 30-day reset. Nothing new.
Yeah, I want to do that during the 30-day reset because I don't think I did it right for the past 3 weeks. And I almost ran out of the freestyle, the sensor. I have to get the doctor to write another refill for three of them. But it costs me so much because my insurance doesn't cover any of it.
I know. It's well worth it when you can use it to get under control.
Yeah.
It's an investment.
So, And then I heard that some people were saying that, you know, when I was reading online with the people that are sending out the emails about how eating, they recommend eating lots of starches and fruits. And then over time, the blood sugar will balance itself out. You know, I'm looking
at everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Everybody's so telling people you can eat half a plate of starches and eat fruits, just plain fruits with chia seed for breakfast.
I'll tell you what.
What?
I did that for 30 years, that all I ate was vegetables and fruits, beautiful food, no sugar, no processed anything, but lots of fruit and, you know, a decent amount of starches. And I discovered I have a problem with blood sugar. It didn't clear itself up.
Yeah, right? I don't know how people did it, but they were saying, oh, starch, you need... Otherwise, you have carbohydrate intolerance if you don't put starch in there. So
I know there's different methods.
Yeah.
And it's just not everything. You have to find what works for you. Remember when you said you tried that?
I'm not sure that this. Yeah, I tried that metabolic reset too. It didn't really work with the protein powder, the Dr. C.
Dr. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It just didn't work for me, but. what I noticed is that I crave, like, you know, if I don't have some starch like potato or plantain or sweet potato, any kind of starch, I just, after a while, when I just have the vegetables and the protein powder, I just start craving crunchy and starchy food.
So what you want to do here is you want to figure out, you don't have problem, you have a problem with fat. Is that correct? If it's too high in fat?
I do. Yeah, my very high cholesterol and triglyceride and LDL. It almost reached up to 299. But I got it down from my last blood test. It was almost 300 for both of them, triglyceride and cholesterol. But the last time I had the test was March 11, and it went down to 197.
Great.
Total cholesterol.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So you keep doing what you're doing. Be patient with yourself. Know that a lot of times the blood sugar is what's causing the spikes in the cholesterol. And when you can get that under control, it's going to stabilize. Okay. Unless you have like a familial hypercholesterolemia, which case, you know, you're just going to have to be careful your whole life. But here's the thing, Rachel. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. And just follow along. And test those starches in the test phase. Here's what you can do. You cook them, and then you put them in the refrigerator, and you make them into resistant starch. And then you see if they raise your blood sugar. And if they don't raise your blood sugar, great. Then you can include those starches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I have cravings, that's what I'll do, right? Just cook it and put in the fridge.
Yeah, it has to be cooled down for 24 hours, so make them in advance and just have it in the refrigerator for emergencies.
Okay? All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So, I'm sorry. I undid. Where did Susanna go? Susanna came back, and then she disappeared. Susanna, raise your hand again. I think I put your hand down.
She's there. I see her right here. There.
Okay. Oh, good. So I was trying to put the other hand down, and I put hers down. There you are. Hi, Susanna.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine now. No echo. Sounds good.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Sorry about that. I was following along on the broadcast, muted and with the phone in it. Just didn't work. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, I'm the person with the gut that nobody can figure out what's exactly going on or what the root cause is. I know I have dysbiosis. I know that I was kind of borderline for candida on the organic acids test. I've had gut problems my entire life on the parasite and candida test. I'm a permanent red. I will never be anything but red because of my background.
Because you're
there's nothing I can do to get out of the red. And it just, I've tried thing after thing after thing after thing, protocol after protocol, and failed. I failed on the food allergy spike training. I actually completed a 7-day, bona fide 7-day water fast. It was horrible. It was horrible, but I got through it. And then when I added,
it's horrible in terms of your appetite and your having your difficulties with it.
I'm sorry.
When you say it was horrible, are you talking it was horrible in terms of uncomfortable because you wanted to eat?
My body just ached. I had no energy. I slept. I mean, it was like I had the flu. Only, you know, they say it gets better, and it didn't.
It didn't. Okay.
But I made it to the end. And then when I started the rare foods diet, it was like I had completely lost my glucose sensitivity. It just skyrocketed as soon as I added foods back in. And these were not the foods I normally eat. The foods I normally eat are really, really good foods, but I eat a lot of them. And after trying several rounds of different rare foods, I went, I can't do this. You know, my two symptoms that I get for my gut, there's only two. One of them is that I get groggy and fall asleep about an hour after I eat. And then, so I lose a lot of time being knocked out and then trying to get back up and go. So, you know, I get up really early in the morning. I try to get as much done as I can during the day. I fast 16 hours, and then as soon as I have that first meal, clunk, I'm out. The other is persistent constipation, and I mean, I take so many supplements that I should be blasting out and nothing.
Maybe long-standing problems, Susanna, like problems you've had for a while. Yeah.
Yes. And now I did look. I'll honestly admit I gave up on the rare foods diet. It wasn't helping me. It was making me feel worse. And I went back to the foods I normally eat, except things that I figured could be irritating, like no chocolate, no coffee, no tea, no nightshades. So I'm still keeping those at arm's length and not doing any of that. And I left out avocados because I just sort of started getting this feeling that maybe avocados were not being my friend. But, you know, all the foods I ate, I get the same reactions. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay, information, by the way. This is good information because it's telling me it's not really a food sensitivity. It's a digestive imbalance. So it's not specific foods. It's every food. And you determine
it's
that
every food.
Going off and doing, cleansing. So the gut needs more healing time. There's something out of balance there. Have you ever done a stool test to see what your, you said you did that a while ago.
It was about a year or
about
so.
A year ago.
Yeah.
And what showed up there?
Oh, I'm trying to think. It's
was it parasites? Was it
no parasites?
No
parasites. Let me see if I can.
Like short chain fatty acids. There's some things that show up on a stool test that are functional and that show there's some inflammatory markers. There's your short chain fatty acid markers. There's pancreatic markers. There's all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay, hold on. Geneva. This is Geneva.
Yeah.
All right. It said under infection, it didn't say anything. Under inflammation, it said fecal secretory IgA. Under insufficiency, it said fecal fats, protein products. Under imbalance, it said beta-glucuronidase.
Okay. Now, what action did you take after you took this test?
I signed up for your program, and I started eating. Actually, after that test, I went on a low FODMAP paleo diet and I lost too much weight on it. So when I got back to when you were supposed to reintroduce the foods, I couldn't reintroduce. I couldn't take one food at a time because I was skeletal.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, I couldn't do it. I couldn't afford another 5 to 10 pound weight loss. So I just started eating again. Without doing the reintroduction. Then I did the plant paradox for a while. I tried, maybe it's lectin. So, I peeled everything and got all the seeds out of them and didn't seem to do anything. And then I went on to your protocol with a lot of green smoothies or green soups and lots of salads and trying to eat in a more alkalinized way. I do still eat some meat. I eat some fish, but I try to make it more rare. And I was using the Warrior protein blend. So I started using that and I like that. But same two things happen, constipation and knocked out after eating. And, now recently I was, I am looking at Grand. I'm working my way through Grand since I'm on ERC. They opened that program for me.
Yeah.
And I did eat a megaton of chia gel. And on your constipation, your little sheet for constipation, and I drank two cups of a smooth move tea. Okay, well, that worked. That worked. But, I'm taking 750 milligrams of magnesium citrate every night. I'm taking Trifla. I'm taking, four Trifla pills. And, you would think that that I would have to run.
I'm going to stop you there because I want to ask you a couple of things. You didn't come to the lab call, did you? I'm trying to remember if you came to the lab call for ERC. Because I it may be related to your liver. And there's a thing in Chinese medicine, they call it dry constipation, where it's related to the liver and not the liver not doing its thing and producing enough bile, et cetera. I'm going to give you, without knowing more right now, I'm going to give you a particular herb to try. You can tell me if you've already tried it. It's called Dong Quai Angelica Sinensis.
I've heard of that. I'm not currently taking it. Dong Quai Angelica Sinensis.
Yeah.
Okay. And can I get that locally?
Yeah, probably. And if not, you can either get it as a powder from Mountain Rose, or you can get it as a tincture from Herb Farm or Hawaii Farm or Gaia or any of those. It's a common one. I bet Whole Foods would even have it. You know, look for the good herb.
Do you think Wheatsville might have it?
Wheatsville, yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't know how big their supplement department is, but Natural Grocer.
Okay, Natural Grocer. Okay.
They seem to have a lot of supplements.
Okay. And how would you take this?
Or depends on whether you go for a capsule or a powder or a tincture, but I would go by start with the doses recommended on the bottle. You may have to go a little higher, but I would start with that. All right. And then how are you doing with the eating during, like the whole eating ritual of breathing and appreciation and calmness and chewing and, you know, all that kind of silly stuff?
I'm doing all that. I am doing it. I'm trying to chew things down to a liquid. And some of the things, like, you know, since I've been on that 7-day fast, and since I am a thyroid person as well, low thyroid person, you know, I've been doing my greens, and I do eat quite a bit of greens, but I've been doing it as a green soup and steaming them first, and then making, you know, a green soup.
Does that also make you feel groggy?
Anything I eat makes me feel groggy.
Okay, are you taking digestive enzymes? And have you done a challenge? You are? Which one?
I am. I've been taking, I just ran out of them, but I was taking Digest by Transformation.
Transformation, okay. And you've taken like 2 or 3 with a meal?
I was taking 3. Okay. I'm also doing bitters before the meal. And then when I start the meal, I'm taking 4 HCL tablets.
Mm.
And then in the middle of the meal, I take my Digest, and I take a triflopil, take a berberine, I take my phospholipids for my brain during in the meal.
What about probiotic? What are you doing for that?
Nothing, because I can't tolerate any.
Okay.
Well, let me back on that. I can eat like almond yogurt, unsweetened almond yogurt, or unsweetened cashew yogurt, you know, that you just get at the health food store that has no sugar added or no flavor added. I can do that. That doesn't seem to. But there's probably not very much in there.
Yeah, because they're, you know, it's not like your homemade, which is going to be potent. Have you ever tried coconut yogurt? Like there's one called, Cocoyo. And they don't have any foods except downtown.
I have seen that, and I just don't like the taste. So it's hard to make myself eat.
If you try the different flavors, because they have a vanilla, they have a plain, they have a coconut, turmeric.
Yeah, I've only done the plain, and I really didn't like that.
So here's what you can do. It is plain, right? So try it with some vanilla and cinnamon in it, a little bit of stevia or something to give it a little sweetness.
Okay. So you prefer the Coco Yo to the other?
Definitely prefer it. The others are not. The others are actually pasteurized. They're not raw. And you can destroy some of the organisms. I don't think you get as many live cultures in those. They taste good, but that's about it. And you you can make your own cashew or almond yogurt by just, they're really easy to make. You just, you know, soak the almonds, the cashews, you don't have to, but you can for just a few hours, and then blend them up in the blender with water. And here's the ratio to remember, 1 to 1 to 1. And it's in all the recipe guides that you have. You find it in just about any of the recipe guides you have on the recipe page in ERC.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, when I take the probiotics, all of a sudden I look like a SIBO person.
Then you have to be careful. If you're getting that from the almond or cashew yogurt or any of these, then I wouldn't do that. What I would do is what I told somebody a little before was get some bifido, just pure bifido.
Probiotics. I've got their D-lactate free, and I can't tolerate that.
Yeah. Okay. So then just try the bifido.
Okay. The custom bifido 4 blend. And I mean, you know, the yogurts don't affect me. I mean, I don't have the horrendous gas and bloating, and I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like embarrassing to go out in public.
Not good. So I would love for you to, whatever labs you have, upload them and then come to the next ERC call, which is, I think, next week or the week after, the last weekend in the month at night,
okay.
I think in the evening, and come to that call.
Oh, that's good.
And have your labs uploaded, because we'll be on Zoom and we can share screens. And I want to, there's a few things I'm thinking about I want to look at on your labs.
Okay. Yeah. My labs are all there.
They're all there. Beautiful. So just come to the call and let's go through them together.
Okay. ERC. And you think
I'll look at my calendar right now. Are you getting our email reminders?
Yes.
Okay. ERC Open Coaching and Support. It's on the 23rd, 6 p.m.
23rd. 6 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, come to that and let's review your labs then, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
Perfect.
And in the meantime, I will get the bifido and
go slow with this, Susanna. Go slow, please. Don't go fast. Don't the dose is a half a scoop. I'm going to do a scoop. No, go do a pinch.
No.
A pinch and then a pinch and then a pinch and then a pinch, okay?
Yeah. No, I know how I react to it. I mean, it scares me. You know?
And the other possibility, Susanna, to get some good bugs implanted is suppositories. But we'll talk about it more on that call. You experiment with some of these things. Give me a check-in, and then I'll talk to you about how you can do it, where it bypasses your whole upper digestive and you get your flora balanced that way. A couple of things we can do.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. And they're all in, are they all in your master tracker?
Yes. Oh, you mean my blood work? My blood work's on the master tracker. I just got a new one done, but I don't have it yet.
You'll have it by then. You'll have it by the 23rd. So go ahead and put it in there, and then we can just really go through that and figure some stuff out. And then I'll ask you some more questions about that, too.
Okay. That
All
sounds
right?
great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Susanna. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. I don't see any of your hands up, so I'm going to look to see if anybody else put Q&A in. Okay, so that was Vanessa. That was the last one. Okay, so I see James, Romana, Peter, Veronica, Peter. Oh, we have a lot of questions in here. Let me go back down to where I left off. Okay, so Vicky. So if you're right after, Vicky wants to know about cholecystectomy, which is removal of the gallbladder, unfortunately, on 415. So post-op, you're just going to want to support yourself. I would highly recommend that you get one of the new, like either the Sun Warrior or the Amazing Grass Collagen Support protein powders. You're going to need more protein to do some healing there. You're also going to have to be super careful with fats. And you have to be careful with starches, you know, not too much starches or fats at the same meal. They usually tell you about the fats, but they don't tell you about the starches. you may need to look at getting a particular digestive enzyme that's high in lipase. One of them that comes to mind is one called LipoGold. I've heard some good things about that. I've had people use that one. I wouldn't maybe right away, but experiment them with also some bile salts, because you've got your gallbladder removed. And with the meals, instead of getting this, okay, the gallbladder says, hey, there's this much fat in that meal, let me squirt out the right amount of bile, you're on a constant slow drip because there's no gallbladder to concentrate the bile. So the bile that you do that drips out of your liver is dripping out pretty much all day long, and it's just in drips. It's not concentrated in form that can help you to really break those fats down. So I would look at that. I would look at, really restricting your fats initially and then experimenting with what fats, because you do need them with the omega-3s and stuff. You may want to do a fat capsule for a while you're healing. And then which program are you in, Vicki? If you can type that in, I would like to know that, because the reason I'm asking is that in the digestive program, module 5, we have the whole thing on the gallbladder. And it's on gallbladder and what do you do if you don't have a gallbladder. And it goes into that in detail. And that would be body balance, if you have body balance, in module 5. If the module 2, part 5, would be where it would be. And happy healing. Vitamin C, over the area where there's a scar, some vitamin E and aloe vera oil can be helpful. As long as it's not oozing open scar. Catherine, hello, from Poughkeepsie. You know, I spent 9 weeks in Poughkeepsie once. When I first got out of college, I worked for IBM, and they sent me up to Poughkeepsie for 9 weeks. It was my first introduction. I had to go to Poughkeepsie, New York, to have my first introduction to Mexican food. I'd never had it before. It's kind of interesting. So Catherine says, curious about normal blood sugars after eating immediately 1 hour, 2 hours. So if you're asking when to test, in the sweet spot, we have the chart and it shows you how to test, and it's relatively frequently, at least initially. But what would the normal levels be? Well, I like to see it before eating below 90, ideally, 85, 80, 75, something like that. Immediately after, you may or may not see a raise because it takes a little while, but if you have something super sweet, like, some mango or some sugar, it will go up relatively high. But what I like to see is that it slowly goes up, and at about 45 minutes to an hour, it peaks at 110 or below. And then at 2 hours, it's back down in maybe the 85, if it started in 85, it's back down close to where it was to begin with, maybe within 5-10 points above. And that would be ideal. That would be ideal. Dave, with my schedule, 90 minutes round trip to the gym. Oh, 90 minutes at the gym. While you're dedicated, that's 3 hours. And the prescribed times between meals and bursts. I'm having trouble to figure out how to schedule up to 8 bursts a day. Could 4 of them be done at the gym? Yes. This is way. 1 burst during one of my 2 15-minute fast walks and 2 during my 12. Absolutely. That's a way to do it. I teach people about bursts to spread them across the day, because that way they can fit it in here and there. With your schedule and you're dedicated and you're at the gym, I would incorporate it in there. So you could do, like, you start out, you're doing a walk on, it sounds like you're doing the bike and you're doing a walk on the treadmill. So you could just start your walk on the treadmill, and then you can go in about 2 minutes in, then you go really fast for 30 seconds, like blip, 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 then you go back. Give yourself another 2 minutes to recover and then do it again, the same thing. So you could actually do all of your 8 bursts. You have 2 15-minute walks. You can actually do, you can do all of them there. You can do all 8 of them. Just spread it out throughout, as long as there's, like, I would say 3 minutes recovery between bursts. And that'll just become part of your aerobic routine, and that'll work really well for you. You're dedicated. Good for you. I really, really applaud that. Marit, I think that's it. Should I take him? Marit, you're going to have to work through shift, because I didn't collect anything. They are the ones that did it, and they have a specific policy. But here's the thing. stick with it, and when you can have the program open to you, and you can do it as you can, because first of all, it'll never be that low again. That I'm just going to say, and you'll never get the bonuses like that again. But I can write to somebody, but that's going to be the same as you writing to them. I don't have any control over their billing, and I think they had a 2-week cancellation policy. Okay, but stick with it. You will definitely be able to use the materials. You can come to the calls when you can, and you'll have access to it. And if we do the live calls again when this round is over, then just let us know that you weren't able to do it, and we'll let you do it again. No problem. Liz, I'm currently taking supplements C and others. Should I continue these while on the program? Sure. My mom is waiting to join and wondering if she should still stay on her medication. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to stay on your medications, and you should stay on your vitamins. As you go through, you'll be guided to some other things to take, but C for sure, and it depends on what the others are, and definitely staying on medications. What I see is that what people do is if they join Sweet Spot and they're on medications, they let their doctor know that I'm going to be having a check-in with you regularly, and I want to check my blood pressure regularly, and if she doesn't have a home cuff, I would have her do it at home to see, because if it's starting to go down too much, the doc's going to have to take her off some of the medication and lower the dose. And I see that. I see some people get off their medications completely with the help of their doctor. But yes, absolutely is a great place to be if she's doing it. So yeah, awesome. But stay on her medications for sure. Petra. Hi, Petra. Where do you live, Petra? Are you in Europe? Like to receive a replay. Yeah, you always get a replay. Belly. So you're in Sweet Spot for 1 week, several days. Actually suffer from belly fat. 3 months ago, my periods just stopped. 52 and no symptoms of menopause. I'm grateful. Well, that's like the best way to go through menopause. Congratulations. But belly fat and cringe babies do worry me. You're in the Netherlands. There you go. So I would say that just do the program. And the program should take care of the belly fat. As far as the cravings, in the very beginning, I said there's a section called Get Your Supplies. Get those three supplements that I recommended, the magnesium, chromium, and DHA, and start to take them. And what people call them, the craving crusher nutrients. The other thing is that there's a doTERRA essential oil blend called Slim and Sassy, and you can just stick a little in your water, and you can drink that in your water throughout the day, and that often helps with the cravings. But just stick with the program and just do what we're talking about, and this is what the program works well for. So congratulations on having an amazing menopause transition, and this is going to be awesome for you. Yeah, Colleen, any tips about getting off coffee? Is yerba mate okay? Yeah, I would, first of all, it's why are you doing the coffee? Is you doing the coffee because you love the flavor, or are you doing the coffee because you need it to get you awake? If it's to keep you up, you want to slowly wean off of it. So if you're at, like, say you're at 3 cups a day, you're going to cut back to maybe 2.5 cups and then 2 cups and then cut it back gradually. And you can replace it with some green tea, which has some caffeine, and will support you, but not have too much in the way of that. But plus, it's antioxidant rich. Yerba mate, same thing, but it's a little higher. So it's a good interim. But then you'd want to wean down off the yerba mate, and just stick to maybe a cup or two a day at the most. I don't know how much you're drinking, so yeah. Looks like your question went in twice, Rebecca. Getting started for body balance, great. I've been dealing with acid reflux and ear things. My right ear has a blocked feeling. My doctor says it's because the tube gets inflamed and doesn't drain properly. Walk in, said ear infection. My doctor said not. Thoughts on the root cause of these? So here's the thing. With acid reflux, we're definitely going to walk you through that. So all the things you're working on in module one, move on to module one and start doing those processes, because it's going to start bringing things in balance. If you want like a symptomatic help with the acid reflux, I would look at things related to DGL licorice. DGL licorice as a powder or as a lozenge to just help soothe and repair that reflux. But we want to find out why. So you're going to go through some of the eliminations and eliminating foods that hurt the gut, and part 11 or 12 I think it's 12 of the module one is all about the eating for healthy digestion, just like the situation under which optimizing digestion habits. So I think you're in the right place here. As far as the ear, if your doctor says it's not an infection, do not do anything with any kinds of antibiotics unless you absolutely have to. And it could be that you're producing too much mucus and that's causing that blocked feeling. So I would just say go through the process. We're not going to do this for that. We're really trying to get you in balance. And, of course, I have stuff that I I'm sorry, I'm looking at another question. You get me. Let's see. Mila, hi. Can you explain one more time what the goal is when testing my blood sugar in a process of finding foods that bother me? You're looking to keep your blood sugar steady, that it never goes up too high. And when you're logging your foods, you're looking to see, oh, when I eat this meal that's a big salad with guacamole and tomatilla salsa or something, right? Or pico de gallo was the word I was looking for. And my sugar just goes up 10 points and then goes back down. Oh, wow, I had this meal and I had a salad and I had some cheese on it and my sugar went up. Or I had a salad and I had some Jell-O for dessert and my sugar went up. So we're trying to figure out what are the foods that are causing your sugar to go up. And then what we're going to do is a metabolic reset. When we get on our kickoff call, which is on the 30th, I'll explain everything. I'm going to make sure that no stone is left unturned, and I'm explaining everything. Okay, Phyllis, I just talked to you, Phyllis. Jennifer, been waking up 1 to 2 times in the middle of the night, always 3 a.m. And again, if you guys can please put in what program you're in, that's going to help me to know what resources you have availability to. Always 3 a.m., very tired in the morning. Lynn, remind me what the 3 a.m., 1 to 3 is, isn't 1 to 3 liver gallbladder? I think 1 to 3 is liver gallbladder. Always 3 a.m. and very tired in the morning and not bouncing up like I used to. Is that cortisol, adrenal, what can I do? Yeah, so tell me what program you're in because there's a lot of basics. I need to know a lot more. Like, tell me what I can do is a little bit of a vague question. So I need a little bit more specifics here.
And 1 to 3 is liver, 3 to 5 is lung.
Okay. Yeah, so you're right on the cusp of liver, lung. So I would be looking at there may be some toxicity in your diet. Again, I don't know which program you're in. Do you know which program Jennifer's in, Lynn? Ask her to chat it and you can tell me. But based on what program you're in, I can tell you what to do. If you're in body balance, I would say, you know, how far are you along in module one and go through step by step in there? Because what we're doing is creating a context for building, for making things, getting rid of things that are harming, adding things that are healing and soothing. So is it a cortisol adrenal issue? It could be cortisol going up, but it could be related to your liver detox. I want to know for you, what are you doing right before you go to bed? Are you eating foods within that last 3 hours? What kind of food are you having there? Test your blood sugar at bedtime and see. And like I told Vanessa when she wakes up in the middle of the night, is to pull out a glucose meter and test it and see. And if the blood sugar is going up high, then it either could be a cortisol spike or it could be related to what you ate at your last meal. But without knowing what you're eating and what your stress level's like and what your sleep is like, it's really hard for me to know. If you were on when I was talking to Vanessa, you heard how many questions I asked her.
So Jennifer's in sweet spot.
You're in sweet spot. Okay, great. So I would be looking at the glucose chart, get a glucose meter and start testing and see what's going on. And measure your blood glucose right before you go to bed to see where it's at, and then measure it when you wake up at 3, and we'll get a sense of it. And don't just do it once, do it 2 or 3 times, because you need to have multiple points on a graph to be able to figure it out. And we have plenty of time to go through this with you. And the sleep module is going to help you tremendously, too, to help you figure that out. Okay. Patricia. Getting good sleep, yes. Carpal tunnel and C5 obstruction makes me wake up regularly throughout the night with the thumb. Yeah. going on for years. How can I get a good sleep? Suddenly, for the first time, I feel numb fingers. For the last year or so, I feel numb at fingertips. Numb at fingertips could be related to this carpal tunnel. Okay, so it depends on which fingertips. If it's the last three fingers, if it's the first two, and it could be related to the C5 obstruction. So that's probably what that is. As far as getting good night's sleep, have you tried a brace? There's particular carpal tunnel type braces that you can wear that keep your hand from bending in the middle of the night, and that can be helpful. There are a lot of things you can do for the carpal tunnel. I have found when I was physically seeing people in the office, I would do acupuncture. I would do ultrasound on not only the area around the wrist, but also what's going on in the elbow. And then I'd also do ultrasound on the neck to loosen that up. And then there's particular exercises, and I would do acupuncture and trigger point work. So you may find a good therapist that can help you with all that. Oh, Peter's diagnosed with cataracts. Yeah, so I would recommend that you go check out Dr. Kondrat's site. He has a lot of good information about cataracts. And there's also some good Ayurvedic literature about some Ayurvedic herbs that help to slow that down. And then, of course, the clean eating, keeping the blood sugar steady and not having your ups and downs, keeping a good, healthy digestive tract, and making sure you're getting nutrient-dense foods can all help it. He's found vitamin C. Sometimes IV vitamin C helps. And you can actually go to his website, Kondrat, drkondrat.com. I think it's drkondrat.com, but look up Dr. Kondrat, Edward Kondrat. Veronica from Australia. Suggestions for using liquid foods like green juice or bone broth, which since years creates bloating and indigestion. I've been needing to take 10 enzymes, wow, with my meals. SIBO multiple foods. SIBO and mul. It was all the words went together. I can read it. So again, I don't know which program you're in. If these things are causing bloating and indigestion, it sure sounds like you need to get help with the upper GI. You know, so many things clear up when you just follow through. So these are great questions. And a lot of these questions are things that are, let's just start the program is what I would recommend. And then let's see, because things just clear up. We had Beatrice, who's been on these calls, and she'll be on them again. She's going to do it again. She came in for her blood sugar, and her Hashimoto's cleared up. Her hypertension cleared up. Her multiple joint pains cleared up. Her sluggish pituitary cleared up. All these things cleared up just by following along. So we're going to try to avoid in any of these programs the concept of this for that. What do I do for bloating? What do I do for gas? What do I do for? But we're going to be identifying the imbalances in what you're currently doing and helping you to correct those.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
When I talk to people about the program, no matter what's going on, the sweet spot foods, the everything that's involved in that, it's anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So just by following all of those pieces, it's going to calm everything down, no matter what story your body is telling you.
Excellent. I can't agree more. Thank you. Romana, just started the sweet spot and noticed that when I have smoothies, I feel great. Yay! When I have a full meal, I'm so tired after eating that I need to take a nap. Isn't it anything I can do to address it? I would say do a smoothie cleanse. All right? We are, we have a great smoothie cleanse program, and Lynn was just explaining how when she was first trying to get her health restored, she would just do a constant cycling, and we have a prep week, a cleanse-only week, and then a reintroduction week, and then a prep-cleanse-reintroduction. But during the cleanse week, we're basically just sticking with the blended foods. Sometimes we need to just give our bodies a break, the same way we give our broken arm a break and put it in a sling or some sort of brace. We need to give our digestive tracts a break, too. All right. So I think that if you feel great with the smoothies, I'd say replace two meals with them. Just do like 3 to 5 days or 7 days of just doing the smoothies. And we're going to try to get your, you know, everything, the load off. It may be that what you're eating in the meals is causing you to have a high sugar and then a drop, but without knowing more, and we'll learn more as we go through. Every time I need a solid meal in the afternoon, I fall asleep for 2 hours. Yeah, don't have a solid meal. Have a liquid meal. Yeah, and start to track your foods and see if there's particular foods in there that are causing it, and start to track your glucose, and we'll look at your glucose. All right, I only have a couple more minutes because we have another call at 7:30. Okay, James wants to know if using the Abbott Freestyle Libre for glucose tolerance test with 75 grams of glucose, how are the resulting readings interpreting? It's not looking at whole blood. Is there a conversion factor? It's looking at the interstitial space. I don't think that there is a conversion factor, but what I've found, it is very similar. I've compared the stick meter with the Libre, and it works fine. So you're wanting to do, you're going to the doctor's office to do a glucose tolerance test? Is that it? And you want to see how those readings compare to there. I don't think that there should be much of a difference, is my guess. Okay, I haven't had anybody do that before. I'm going to look to see if anybody's got their hands up. No, good. So I'll keep going on the QA, and I'll refresh. And then, like I said, I have another call in a couple minutes. Oh, good. There's only two more. Romana, is the Dawn Quai to help when I get knocked out after I eat? Well, the Dawn Quai was, Susanna was talking about really severe constipation, that she's tried so many things. So I don't think that Dawn Quai is going to do that. But again, need to ask you questions about your, not just, you know, having that tiredness after eating, but I'd want to see exactly what you're eating, and I want you to track your glucose. And on that chart that we set up for you to track all this, you can actually chart your bowel movements as well. So if you have some constipation, you also have some female hormone issues, the Dawn Quai could be helpful, but I don't have enough information to know. It's definitely not for when you get knocked out after you eat. That's a digestive issue. So it's looking at how well is your stomach acid producing? How well is your, how are your enzymes doing? When I asked Susanna all these questions, she was doing all those things that I would recommend. So I jumped into some other things to try to see. Maybe it's a liver detox pathway clogging, and that's what the Dawn Quai helps with. A good question, Mila. Would I recommend using erythritol as a sweetener? I do use it as a sweetener sometimes, and for some people, it's awesome. And for some people who have very compromised digestion, it can actually be irritant. So try it and see. But it's very different than sorbitol or xylitol, which cause digestive upsets in lots and lots of people. Yeah, and Lynn, are there any others? I've got to get off in like 2 minutes, but are there any other questions in the chat that need to be addressed, or have you been putting them in?
Yep, you got them all.
I got them all.
I have been putting them in.
Good. Thank you. That helps a lot, because if I just can look in one place. So guys, for those of you new with Sweet Spot, welcome. I'm excited to have you here. We officially kick off the call on the 30th, so you'll have that extra call moving you into, you'll go into, I think, August. We go into with these office hours calls. Then you also have your Sweet Spot only calls, and there's a lot of those. And we're inviting you to another Q&A that we have for a community we have called Vital. So you're going to basically have a call a week for 3 months. So let's just first of all, I want you to do is breathe. Just take a few deep breaths. And the word that comes up for me is trust. We need to learn to trust your inner healer. It knows what to do, but for many years and many decades for many of us, we've been abusing our bodies. We've been doing what we've been told is good for us, which may not be good for us. And we've been clogging up our systems. So the goal is to get your blood sugar balanced. The three key areas to get balanced: blood sugar, digestion, and detox. Okay, those are three critical things. Everybody wants to jump in, what should I do about my thyroid? What should I do about menopause? And guess what? Sleep is important for all of them. So if you're in sweet spot and you haven't looked at the sleep stuff yet, that's a good place to go. And Lynn and I will discuss.
I have one last question.
Yeah?
If this is from LaShawn, are there any low-impact burst exercises for fractured metatarsal?
Sure. Do something that does not involve your legs at all. You can sit in a chair, and you can either without weights or with a 5-pound weight, 2-pound weight, or just something heavy in your hands, you can do arm raises. You can do bicep curls, and just do them fast. You don't even have to have weight. Just do them fast. So sitting on chairs, and we're going to have lots of education on that as we go through. There are a lot of videos in there already, and we're going to have a group call. I can't remember when it's going to be, but we're going to do a group fitness call. So, okay.
So one thing I recommend for that is jumping jacks, except just using your arms. You know, so you're raising your arms up and down while you're sitting. You know, you're sitting in your chair and you're just raising your, and that's going to get your heart rate up.
Yeah, there's so many things you can do with a fractured metatarsal. You can't do it with your low body. You can do lots of stuff with the upper. There's even a device. We have one in our living room. I bought it for my husband for a Christmas present 1 year. And you can use it for pedaling, but really you can put it on a table. It's got a little tabletop like a pedaler, and you hold on like a bicycle, and you hold on to the things, and you do that with your arms. It was like $35. It wasn't that expensive. Boom, boom, boom. Really, really works well. All right, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate you being here. And I'm going to open up the line so everybody can say goodbye on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Bye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to continue to listen to the link that you have. Bye, everybody.
Bye.